You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
News now here on RNIB Connect Radio about new published research into treatment for the rare eye condition, hypotony, which affects around 1,000 people in the UK each year, and the setup of the world's first dedicated hypotony eye clinic at Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. Harry Petrushkin, consultant ophthalmologist at Moorfield, who has been leading the research and with the use of a widely used eye injection to treat hypotony, has not only restored the pressure in patients' eyes, but has even, in a number of cases, restored some of their vision too. I'm delighted to say that Harry joins me now to explain a little bit more about the eye condition hypotony, the setup of the new clinic, and the treatment too. Hello, Harry, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
So firstly, Harry, do tell me more about the rare eye condition hypotony and how it affects people's vision.
So hypotony is a difficult condition to diagnose because it isn't a diagnosis in its own right. It's almost never the primary problem that somebody presents with. It's much more commonly a subsequent effect of pre-existing eye problems. So hypotony can occur in people with multiple retinal detachments. It can occur in people with chronic, long-standing inflammation in their eyes. It can occur to people who have had a lot of glaucoma surgery, where the glaucoma team are unable to keep the pressure up after they've done some surgery. It can happen as a result of trauma and a number of other things. So it's often a common endpoint for a number of eye conditions. And because of that, it's actually very poorly characterized. So we comment on it, but we often don't diagnose it as such. And so that's why that number that you give at the beginning, that maybe there's 1,000 people roughly in the UK, is really a number in the air. We really have no idea how prevalent or what the incidence is of hypotony. So how many people every year develop new hypotony that doesn't get better? And actually, that's a study that's going on right now. It's based out in Glasgow with the Royal College of Ophthalmologists. So they have something called the British Ophthalmic Surveillance Unit, which surveys rare conditions. So if any of your listeners have new onset hypotony that medical teams are struggling to manage, make sure that your consultant reports via the Royal College of Ophthalmology, because it's really important that we understand exactly how common this problem is. But to go on to your first question about how, sort of, what is it? It's effectively low eye pressure. Some people like to think of it as the opposite of glaucoma, which everybody has heard of. Glaucoma is high eye pressure most commonly, which causes damage to the eye. And this is very low eye pressure, which causes a very different kind of damage to the eye. So your eye needs a certain amount of pressure inside it to function properly. And actually, just like any ball, it has a function. And if you depressurize a football or a tennis ball or anything, it doesn't work properly, and the eye is much the same. It needs to run at a pressure which keeps the retina flat, it keeps the water pumped out of the cornea, and it allows light to be bent appropriately by the cornea and the lens. So that's, in a nutshell, what hypotony is.
And I believe there was the use of an ocular injection containing something I think called HPMC rather than the injections that would be normally used to, I suppose, treat patients with low eye pressure. Is that right?
Well, so there is no normal here. So historically, hypotony wasn't really managed unless it was in the acute context. So if somebody has just had a glaucoma operation and their pressure is very low, that would be acute hypotony, so something that's just happened. And the glaucoma surgeons would rush in and modify the operation that they've just done to get the pressure back up. And so they inject gels in the front of the eye for glaucoma, because usually it's the front of the eye that's overdraining. And really, the difference between what we're here talking about, which is chronic hypotony, which really means that the eye is unable to produce enough fluid. So it's not a problem of overdrainage. So if you think about the eye a bit like a bathtub, you've got a tap and you've got a plug hole. And for the most part, the type of low pressure that is most common is people who have had a lot of plug hole surgery. So lots of drainage surgery, and they're overdraining. And so you effectively need to block up the drainage. Whereas patients with chronic hypotony haven't got a plug hole problem per se. They've got a problem with the tap. They're just not producing enough fluid inside the eye to keep the eye pumped up. And so the real difference between how we're managing these two different types of hypotony is that in this chronic hypotony, what we're doing is injecting gel in the back of the eye, in the vitreous cavity, so the main part of your eyeball. And the rationale there is that by pressurizing that chamber of the eye, we're pushing the back of the eye outwards and making it rounder again.
So I suppose retaining that shape that the eye would have if all that fluid hadn't been lost, I suppose.
Exactly that. So if you look at a cross-section of an eyeball, you get a nice curve at the back of the eye. And patients with hypotony usually don't have a nice curve at the back of the eye. They've got sort of more of a scrunched up appearance of their retina.
A number of patients who have had the new treatment have had some of their vision restored, including Nikki. Do tell me a little bit about her story and how the treatment of the injections has been able to restore some of her vision, because I believe there has to be a working cell at the back of the eye for the treatment to work.
Yeah, that's correct. We need the machinery in the retina and the optic nerve to work to allow your eye to transmit the information back to your brain. So if you haven't got a functioning retina or optic nerve, those effectively are the wiring of the eye that take all that information to your brain. And if you don't have a functioning optic nerve or retina, then it doesn't really matter how pumped up or not pumped up the eye is. That information, that there's no communication channel to get the in-focus image back to your brain. So for everybody that we treat, we have to demonstrate that they have, the term I use is visual potential, but effectively their eye has the ability to see. And we usually demonstrate that using electrical tests that basically prove that there is information going from the front of the patient where they flash a light all the way back through their eye, through their optic nerve, through their brain, right to the back of their brain, which is where we interpret images. So Nicola lost vision very quickly from hypotony, which actually is somewhat unusual. Usually it's a much slower process, but she'd had cataract surgery, and in people, very, very rarely, I should say, but in some people who are predisposed towards developing low eye pressure, cataract surgery is often the thing that pushes them over the edge. So I definitely wouldn't want any of your listeners to get very anxious that this is going to happen to them after cataract surgery, because that's a rare event, but was the case for her. So she went rapidly, very soft, her eyes went very soft. But we knew that the machinery at the back of her eye was working, because she had very good vision prior to developing cataracts. And so for Nicola, we started pumping up the front of her eye, because that's what historically people have done with conditions like glaucoma. And we found that it worked very well at restoring the anatomy at the front of the eye, but it didn't do anything at all for her vision, and it didn't do anything at all for her pressure, because it was fundamentally treating the wrong part of the eyeball. And so that was really the eureka moment where we changed the approach and targeted it. So we were, every patient that's come through the clinic has a target that they're aiming at, and that target isn't vision or pressure, it's the length of their eyeball. As the eye gets softer and as your pressure drops, your eyeball starts to get smaller, and lots of patients with sight loss have noticed their eyeball get a bit smaller over time, and that is because the eye's literally shrinking. So the white coat of the eye is contracting on itself. And in this process, what we're doing is trying to get the white coat of the eye, the whole eyeball, back to the size it should be before it started to shrink. And that's really the novelty here, because people have been injecting these gels for a very long time. That's in itself not where the novelty lies.
And it's amazing that Nikki and other patients have had some of their vision restored by using the treatment for hypotony. But could the research and treatments help people with other eye conditions at all?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking that. Possibly is the answer, and it's very early days. So as I alluded to earlier, lots of people with sight loss will have noticed that their eyes are smaller than they used to be. And potentially their cornea, so the clear window at the front of the eye, has become slightly opaque or white looking. That's by no means everybody, but many people with sight loss notice that. And that's because as the eye shrinks, the front of the eye starts to not work properly and can't pump water out the clear window at the front properly. So it is possible, once this treatment is refined and more people are familiar with doing it, because at the moment it's really just a very small number of people doing this at Moorfields, that we start to try and look at how we can help patients who aren't suitable for corneal transplants because their eyes are too soft. You can't do a corneal transplant in an eye that's too soft. And figuring out the right way in which we can repressurize an eye to make it safe to do a corneal transplant, I think would be my big aim. But, you know, we're many years off that.
And Harry, if someone has the condition hypotony and would like to find out more about the research and maybe be referred to the new eye clinic at Moorfields, would the best advice be for them to make an appointment to see their consultant ophthalmologist?
Yeah, that would be the right thing to do because your consultant ophthalmologist will give you a sense as to whether there is vision to be had. If your listeners have no perception of light at all, so you're unable to see light, then this is unlikely to help. And if there's significant problems elsewhere in the eye, then potentially, again, this may not be the right treatment. So I'd really encourage everybody to speak to their consultant and see whether they think they would be appropriate. And if they are, then we welcome the referrals. And we also look forward to being able to train lots of other ophthalmologists around the country so that this is available to people wherever they live. There's really the skill set for delivering the treatments is not so specific that most ophthalmologists can't do it. It's just about putting the learning around choosing the right patients. Because I think that is 90% of the skill here is making sure that you're treating the right people.
Finally, if people would like to follow the research into hypotony and find out a little bit more about the treatment and other Moorfields Eye Hospital research projects, where would be the best place for them to go to find out more?
So there are several places. All of the scientific papers will come out and be published online, and you can always just Google hypotony research, and I think you'll find the current things. I have to say, at the moment, it has not been an area which has been heavily researched in the past. And I hope that the press that this story has got reinvigorates that because there is a lot to be learned. And the more researchers and the more eye doctors that are working on this, the faster progress will be made. So that would be one way to see the scientific papers. To get the lay summary of the scientific papers, Moorfields Eye Charity will be able to point patients in the right direction, and there'll be links off the Moorfields website as well. And the Moorfields website is www.moorfields.nhs.uk.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Harry, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the research into treatment for the eye condition hypotony and the setup of the world's first dedicated hypotony clinic at Moorfields Eye Hospital.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.